Good morning. We have two Bible readings today. The first is Acts 2, 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And our second Bible reading is 1 Peter 4, 8 to 10. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms.
All right, thanks, girl.
Everyone else who's led us to this point in the service, I too am someone who has grated benefitly from the Solomon Island trips. I had to practice that so many times that I still had to pause. Anyway, I benefited greatly from the Solomon trips. I've been a number of times and they're fantastic. I can only vouch for what Grace said. A fantastic way to open your eyes to a bigger world, to be able to actually help some people. And arguably, you leave there a far different person, as Grace said. So, today, I think I've already said, my name's Ryan and we're still chipping away, as Jess and others have said, at this book called Practicing the Way by John Mark Comer. We've been using that book and the Bible to look at what it means to be a follower or an apprentice to Jesus. We've been encouraged to move from the invitation to sort of come and follow, to be with him, to then become like him, and now we're looking at how we can do what he did. So following Jesus, right, it's not something we do passively or at a distance, it's close, it's intimate, it's life-changing. Not because we have to in order to get good enough, right, to make it to heaven, but because we're doing life with Jesus, it's just better. So we're going to pick up where Andy left off last week and explore how we can do as Jesus did. Now, last week, if you were here, you'll remember Andy used a bunch of ratchet straps to show us how all this works. God, with his huge ratchet, sends out the strap, Jesus, and latches onto his kids. From that moment, we're adopted into God's family. And come what may, God will pull us closer to himself. And last week, Andy explained that we too have a little ratchet on our end of the strap. We aren't just sort of dragged towards God, but we can actually ratchet ourselves closer to him by doing as Jesus did. And that as we apprentice to Jesus, that we should untangle and unhook ourselves from other straps pulling us in other directions. And focusing on apprenticing to Jesus, clicking our ratchet every day to get closer to God. Now maybe you weren't here and you're sitting there thoroughly confused. That's okay. I'm sorry if that's you. Check it out on the website. The recording's there and you can listen to it at any time. So that was part one of a two-part sort of series on doing as Jesus did. Today is part two. So let's get into it. Do as Jesus did. The problem is for us is that Jesus did a lot. And, well, he is Jesus. Where on earth do we even begin? How can we even do as he did? Well, today I hope to navigate these questions to help us all leave here not feeling overwhelmed by the fact that we ought to do as Jesus did, but actually be more excited to do so. And to have a concrete, tangible way to do this, to do as Jesus did in our everyday lives. So that's what we're going to explore this morning. But before we do, I'd like to pause for a moment to pray and ask God to help us. God, thanks that we get to do what we're doing right now. Thanks that we can gather together to worship, to pray, to hear your word, and be your people. We do it so often, and sometimes maybe we take it for granted. God, we ask that you would have your way here today. As we explore what Jesus did and still does, as we explore what it means for us, as we figure out how we can actually do it ourselves, may all that is done today be out of a response to the amazing grace you have extended to us. Not doing or striving to do as Jesus did because we think we can earn your love, but doing and striving to do as Jesus did because your love and grace compels us, because your way is better, because doing as Jesus did was how we were always supposed to live. God, we get it wrong. We make mistakes. I do what Ryan likes to do all the time. And each of us, we all do what we like to do too. But we know we aren't defined by our failures. We know we are not left to wallow in our guilt. All because of what Jesus did for us on the cross and in the grave, we are free and forgiven. Thank you for this, God. Thank you for what you did for us, Jesus. May we, as thankful, grateful people, seek to live our lives with the help of the Holy Spirit to do as Jesus did. Help us today to hear you, not me, not anyone else, but you, God. Convict, challenge, encourage, change, and grow us, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, as we've been using this word apprentice to describe us as we seek to be with Jesus, to become like him and do as he did, I want to push into this term a bit before getting into the stuff that Jesus did and did a lot of, which we can all participate in one way or another. All right, so who has been or is an apprentice? Hands up. Oh, there's a bunch. That's good. It's good. I was an apprentice once, believe it or not, an apprentice diesel mechanic, and I started at the ripe old age of 16. Seems very young nowadays. Anyway, I worked with and learned from other mechanics. I can remember watching an experienced mechanic confidently tear down an engine, right? Taking note of what bolts came from where, just knowing it in their head, inspecting parts as they remove them, determining if each part could be reused or not, which parts were too worn, which parts were okay to go again. They made parts lists, they cleaned the components, they measured stuff, and then they could just put it all back together with new parts. And before long, an old, dead, worn-out engine is made like new again. Contrary to popular belief, there's quite a bit going on in an experienced mechanic's mind. And me as an apprentice, I watched on and participated in little lame ways, watching on, thinking, how could I ever do what this mechanic just did? Dare I say it, this can be a little bit like how we look at Jesus. How can I ever do what he did? He did a lot. And for us looking at him, we can think it's just impossible. It's impossible for us to even get close by doing any of the stuff in our lives. How can we even do even a tiny bit like him? Let's quickly get back to me being an apprentice again. Was I ever able to do what the mechanic did to an engine? Yes, eventually. I could take an old engine, dismantle it, inspect the parts, and rebuild it to make it like new again. How? How did I end up being able to do this? By learning one thing at a time. I watched and learned what the mechanic did. The mechanic, right, they set up their work area. So I did too. The mechanic used a particular tool to do a particular job. So I did too. The mechanic used a particular resource for information. So I did too. The mechanic followed a particular process, so I did too. Until eventually, I could rebuild engines on my own. I learned to do as a mechanic did, one step at a time. And we've all learnt like this, right? We've learnt and mastered skills of things that once seemed impossible. Too difficult, too out of reach for us to achieve. But we learnt it. We have all learnt how to do stuff in life. Stuff that once overwhelmed us, stuff that once seemed impossible, and we sit here today not knowing everything about everything, but knowing something and being able to do something that we were once not able to ever dream of doing. I've shared an example about stripping down an engine and putting it all back together again and having it actually work on the other end. What are some examples? Shout it out. Kids, adults, what's something you never dreamed you'd be able to do, but you can actually now do? Shout it out. Brooke's got something. I saw her whisper it. What is it, Brooke? Say the... Yes. Brooke can recite every Prime Minister Australia has ever had from the very beginning all the way through. Should I ask her? Yeah? That was a big list of names to remember, and Brooke did it. Anyone else got something? Oh, yeah, musical instruments. Yep, for sure. A backflip on the trampoline. Yep, almost. Okay. Ah, cool. Algebra. I don't even know what that is. I know it's to do with maths, isn't it? Anyway, the point of all this is to say we can and should do the same when it comes to following Jesus and doing as he did. It can be easy to look at how Jesus lived in the Bible, right? And just be overwhelmed and paralyzed by the enormity of his calling. But we can do as Jesus did and should do so one step at a time. It's not to say that we can, as Jess said, save ourselves, not to say that we can all learn to walk on water if we study enough or rise from the dead either. There's stuff that Jesus did that was unique, but there was a lot of stuff that he did that is absolutely stuff we should be doing too. And again, as Andy mentioned last week, it's not all about miracles. Jesus, he cared for the poor and the orphans. He did life with others in community. He understood and taught the scriptures. He lived life actively forgiving others. He served others humbly. He prayed. He spent time with his Heavenly Father and so much more. Sure, miracles can and do happen, but if that's all that we think Jesus did and all he calls us to do as we try to do life like him, we miss so much. Which gets us back to the question from the very beginning of all of this. What did Jesus actually do? How did he live his life? So whether or not you know your Bible, whether or not you know much about this Jesus guy, it's widely known and believed that Jesus did some pretty incredible things. Inside the Bible and out of it, 2,000 years ago, this Jesus of Nazareth, he made waves and walked on top of them. There are many old written records of stuff that he did, both inside the Bible and out of it. Much of it is pretty nuts. He did miracles, he healed people. As I've said, he walked on water. He did things that we could never hope to do as ordinary humans. I can't do miracles. I can't walk on water. I can't break bread and fish and distribute to thousands of people. Now, there are many schools of thought around all of this. As if we can participate in this kind of thing or not, which we're going to go right past this morning, because Andy touched on this last week, and secondly, I really want to focus our attention on just one thing that Jesus did, and one thing that Jesus did a lot. What is that one thing? Let's get into it now. Sorry, I've got to catch up to my slides here. There we go. As I've just mentioned, there are many things Jesus did in his life. But to really keep it simple, to really narrow in on what Jesus did and did a lot of, I want to spend our time this morning talking about just one simple thing that Jesus did. And he did it all the time. And that thing is, eat. Here's some cheers out there. Not cheese, cheers. I'm talking about cheese, it's all right too. Anyway, Jesus did so much life and ministry around meals. In Tim Chester's book called A Meal with Jesus, he provides a list just from the Gospel of Luke alone. In Luke 5, Jesus eats with tax collectors and sinners at the home of Levi, who would later become Matthew, one of the disciples. In Luke 7, Jesus is anointed at the home of Simon the Pharisee, during a meal. Luke 9, Jesus feeds the 5,000. Luke 10, Jesus eats in the home of Martha and Mary. Luke 11, Jesus condemns the Pharisees and teachers of the law. You're like, yeah, well, it wasn't at a meal, but it was at a meal. Luke 14, Jesus is at a meal when he urges people to invite the poor to their meals rather than their friends. Luke 19, Jesus invites himself to dinner with Zacchaeus. In Luke 22, we have the account of the Last Supper. In Luke 24, the risen Christ, he has a meal with the two disciples in Emmaus, and then later eats fish with the disciples in Jerusalem. In Luke's gospel, this is what this Tim Chester guy says, in Luke's gospel, Jesus is either going to a meal, at a meal, or coming from a meal. So flying over the book of Luke, we can see that Jesus spends so much time in people's houses, so much time around, in our context, a table. They didn't necessarily have tables like we do today, but anyway, so much time having meals with people. And then looking at today's Bible reading from Acts, it says they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. And in 1 Peter, above all, love each other deeply. And later on in that same verse, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. It's not super difficult to see that spending time in people's homes around tables and eating together is something the early church absolutely did. And they saw it as super important. And yes, as I said earlier, Jesus did do much more than just eat with people. But for today, that's what we're going to focus on. That's what we're going to focus on in our Do As Jesus Did part of the series on our Practicing the Way, in which Comer says the following. The practice of eating and drinking with people is what the New Testament writers called hospitality. The Greek word, which I'm sure I'm going to make a mess of pronouncing, is philoxenia. I don't know. But it breaks into two parts. Philo, I don't know, means love. And xenos, which means stranger, foreigner, or guest. Hospitality, the love for guests. Gathering around a table, practicing hospitality. It can seem so underwhelming and so basic. But it is not a useless waste of time. Now, I know not everyone uses their table often, and not everyone has a positive experience all the time. But chances are, some really significant stuff has happened around a table in your life as an individual or as a family or as a bunch of friends. Again, I want to quote Tim Chester in this book here from A Meal with Jesus. He asks a question. Hopefully you can read it because there's a lot of words there. What dramas have unfolded around your table, this simple piece of furniture? Day after day, you've chatted with your family, you've shared news, told stories, probably poked fun. Values have been formed. Guests have been welcomed. People have found a home. Maybe love has blossomed. This is a little bit for me, but this is what he says. Perhaps you reached across the table to reach the hand of your beloved for the first time. Perhaps you remember important decisions made around the table. Perhaps you've reconciled with one another over a meal. Perhaps your family still bonds by laughing together about shared memories. Think of times in your own life spent around a table, sharing a meal or a cup of tea. Think of what has unfolded in conversation around the table. For myself, I remember as a kid catching up on the day with my whole family, telling stories, laughing, praying together. And I remember more recently some of the most precious moments and conversations with people who I love happening around a meal, around a table. For example, the discipleship group that I'm a part of, we've chosen to have dinner beforehand and then do the Bible study afterwards. And boy, it's changed our group. We've grown closer. It's more intimate. We've had more cool conversations. It's been fantastic spending time around the table beforehand. Reflect on your own dining table. Past, present. Maybe it's piled high of washing. Maybe it's got the kids' artwork strewn all across it. Maybe it's buried underneath computers and laptops. Reflect on your dining table, past and present. Remember what has and is happening around it. The simple act of hospitality is a powerful one. Lives are literally changed around tables. People are made to feel welcome, included, and connected. Jesus spent time practicing hospitality. He spent time sharing meals with people, and the early church did too. By doing so, communities were formed and strengthened. The church grew. Strangers were welcomed in. People heard from and about Jesus. The opportunity to hear and respond to the gospel was laid out around a table. And Comer says this, "We can't force a person to become a disciple of Jesus, nor would we even want to, but we can offer them a space where such change can occur, even if it's slowly over time." And then he goes on to say that there is no better place to do this, to offer that space and to get to know someone than over a meal. No better place to dialogue or even disagree with in love. And because of that, there is no better place to preach the gospel than around a table. Jesus knew it and he did it. The early church knew it and they did it too. And if we think long and hard enough, we've likely seen and experienced this in our own lives in some way, shape, or form. Doing as Jesus did, making space to be hospitable, to share meals and memories with people, to get to know them, to include them, to love them, to show and demonstrate how Jesus lived, to do what he did. We can do this, right? Through the somewhat simple act of being hospitable. Which leads me to the how. How can we actually do this? Well, Pathway Care has been working on this idea for a while, and today, green up here. All good. All right, and today is the day that I go on mute. No, today is the day that we roll it out. Okay, so Pathway Care, right, seeks to encourage our church community in practical and helpful ways. And that can mean, you know, helping out those who are in a bind with practical tasks. It might mean mowing a lawn, taking someone to the doctor, whatever, dropping a meal off or two, catching up for a chat, and so much more. We also seek to empower our community to give opportunity to serve in ways that align with their gifts. There are so many people here with incredible gifts, people with gifts that love and serve our community in so many ways. And today, Pathway Care is launching a new initiative called House to House. It's an initiative that fits really well with today and the idea of doing as Jesus did through being hospitable. What we hope to provide for Pathway is something to further encourage our community. House to House is a simple invitation to live as a real Christian community beyond Sunday gatherings, what we're doing today. It's about opening our homes, sharing meals, and making space in our everyday lives for one another. Not in a polished or impressive way, but in an honest, ordinary, meaningful way. It's all about hospitality, not entertaining. In the Bible, we see Jesus and the early church meeting together in their homes, eating together, praying together, sharing life together. The connections were not built around events or programs, but around consistent rhythms of life together. That is the kind of community we want to continue growing into. A community where people are known, welcomed, and not walking through life alone. And a key part of this is consistency. House to House is not about like inviting different people over every week or constantly hosting new groups. It's about sharing your table with the same small group of people, getting to know each other over time, building trust, walking through life together in a real and lasting way. This is shared, right? It's not one-sided. It's not just about hosting and being open and available and willing to share life together. Hang on, I think I just read that wrong. This is not one-sided. It is not just about hosting, but being open and available and willing to share life together. This is not about adding something to an already busy schedule. This is about reshaping what we're already doing. Right? We all eat, right? Why not put just a little bit of extra food on or ask those coming to bring something small to share and then just simply enjoy the meal together? For some, this could be as simple as discipleship groups like ours, gathering a little earlier to share a meal before opening the Bible together. House to house is simply about hospitality. Regularly gathering with the same people around a table, over a meal, over a cup of tea, over a beer, in the middle of real life. It's important to say this is not about hosting perfectly or having everything in order with your house spick and span. Not at all. It's not about entertaining or being the best host. It is about hospitality. Using our homes, our lives, as a way to serve the Lord and follow Jesus' example. Our hope is that through something as simple as sharing a meal regularly with the same people, we will become a more, this is not to say we aren't connected, but a more connected and caring community. A community shaped by Christ, where his love is seen not just in what we say on a Sunday, but how we live with one another through the week. Now, I've got a whole bunch of invites up here. I hope I have enough. I'd like to ask a bunch of kids, seeing as you're all here, can I get maybe a semi-responsible one to hold the basket, and then whoever else wants to, pass one of these super fun invites, which I even rolled up, one per family group. So, who can I have as volunteers? You're on sound, but you can. Come on, we need a heap of kids. Emmy, grab the basket, and walk around, and then Nate and others, if you can pass one to each family group. Not one to every person, one to each sort of family group or people group or whatever we want to call ourselves. And when you've got it, feel free to unroll it, and we'll have a look at it together to explain how this sort of idea is hoping to work. How are we going? Hopefully we got enough. I did like 40 or something, and I got really sick of rolling them up. So I do have a few flat ones up here, but if we do run out, that's okay. I can certainly get more. And there is a front and a back, because I had someone look at it and go, what's going on here? Turn it over if you're confused. Are we empty? Oh dear, I definitely miscalculated. That's all right, Emmy. Just pop that on the stage here and I'll give you them. And that's all I've got left, but I'll print more later. Thanks for getting them distributed, team. All right, as the last ones are getting sent out, I'll keep charging on. So just like, literally, have a look at this thing. I hope it's simple. I've tried to make it as simple as I can. I'm just going to read through it. The church isn't just something that we attend on Sundays. It's a community, right, that we belong to. House to house, we hope, is a simple way to share life together during the week. Opening our homes, sharing meals, and building genuine friendships in Christ. As I said before, we don't need a perfect home or a fancy meal, just a willingness to be part of this community. So, starting off with, I'd/we'd love to be part of house to house. So that's, write your name, that's pretty straightforward. The next section, I/we would be happy to. So the option is, you can, if you're like, I don't know, I can Dob, Bianca and I, and we love having people around for a meal, we love it. So if you really love having people around for a meal, tick, I'd love to host in my home. But if you're like, whoa, don't trip over. If you're like, I can't have someone here, that's too crazy, that's great. Because we need as many people hosting as we do hosted, right? So if you're interested to be invited into someone's house, tick that box. Or if you want to do both, either is great. And then there's some availability there. Feel free to tick whichever one you like. Don't do this. You can do this now, but feel no pressure to do this now. And then, obviously, what kind of gathering do you prefer? Maybe it's an early morning breakfast before work. Maybe it's lunch. Maybe it's dinner. Maybe it's just something simple for a cup of tea on whatever day, whatever time, or a dessert, or whatever. Or you can just say, I'm easy. And then flipping over on the back, there's an idea of how often do you think you can do this? Maybe it's weekly. Maybe it's fortnightly. Maybe it's monthly. Maybe it's flexible. And then this is interesting. Absolutely don't have to tick this one, but if you're interested in connecting with a particular, what's the word, demographic of people, young adults, you know, single adults, a couple, family with young kids, family with older kids, empty nesters, retireds, or anyone, tick that box as well. And then other notes, if you've got, you know, dietary stuff, or maybe you'd love to do this, but actually I can't get there. Transport needs, if you need to write stuff in there, anything else we need to know. But a few simple things to sum up this invitation is that the idea is you complete these forms in the next weeks, you drop them back into this super fun box, which I'm very proudly to say, Ryan's Arts and Crafts did a lovely job wrapping this up, I thought. So that box will be floating around the church for the next few weeks. You drop it in here, and then we, as in Pathway Care, will help connect you with others in your area. And again, aim for something super simple. We're not trying to make this a big deal. A shared regular meal together. And the idea is this would run for the remainder of 26. So there's no sort of like commitment beyond this. Don't think you're signing your life away for the next 30 years hosting someone around for dinner, because you might get sick of me by then. And again, it's not about performance. It's not about performance. It's all about the connection. Hospitality, not entertaining. And then that last verse in Acts 2:46, they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. I hope that makes sense. If you complete them and you want to drop it in, as in, this box will be laying around for the next few weeks, and I'll be checking it routinely. Has anyone got questions, or have I completely missed something? Pardon? Yeah, I did wonder that after I wrapped it up. I'm like, oh, I suppose I'll just do some of this shake, shake, shake. Everyone's had a money box without access back into it, surely. You just shake it and it'll come out. Anyway, or we could have a ceremonial bashing of the box to bust it open. No, any other got actual good questions? I'm not a details guy, so there's a good chance I've missed something. Anyway, come and talk to me later if you're not sure or you think of stuff later. As we finish this time this morning, though, I want to bring us back, not to a box, not to a thing we're launching, not an initiative or an invitation, but back to Jesus. Everything we've talked about today, every invitation, every idea, every practical step, it all starts and ends with him. Jesus did not just tell people to share meals. He shared his life. He did not just welcome people to a table. He welcomed them to himself. He did not just create space for conversation. He made space for people who had been pushed out, who'd been overlooked, or had been forgotten. And ultimately, Jesus did more than sit at tables. He gave himself for us. His body broken, his blood poured out, so that we could be brought into relationship with God and with one another. So when we talk about house to house, it's not just about meals. It's not just about community. It is about responding to Jesus. It's about doing as he did. It's about saying, because of what you have done for me, I want to live like you. Because you have welcomed me, I want to welcome others. Because you have loved me, I want to love others. It's not something we do to earn anything. It's something we do because we have already got everything in him. And the incredible thing is, it is in these regular, simple, ordinary moments around tables, in homes, in everyday life, that Jesus is present with us. He meets us there. He works through us there. So, as we step into this, let's not just see this as some initiative or something else I have to do, but an invitation. An invitation to be with Jesus, to become like him, and to do as he did. So let's pray. God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he did not stay distant, but he came near. Thank you that he welcomed us, he loved us, and made a way for us to know you. Jesus, thank you for the way you lived. Thank you for the way you loved people, the way you made space for them, the way you invited them in. And God, we want to be people who do the same. Not in our own strength, not to impress anyone, but as a response to your grace. Help us to open our homes. Help us to open our lives. Help us to love people deeply and genuinely. For those who feel hesitant and unsure, give us courage. For those who feel busy, help us see what could be reshaped. For all of us, God, shape us into a community that reflects Jesus. May our homes be places of welcome. May our tables be places of grace. And may our lives point people to you. We give this to you, and we ask that you would do more through it than we could ever plan or ever imagine. In Jesus' name, amen.